following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist. In a statement today, Mayor Emanuel said that he would defer to Mayor-elect Lightfoot's request to pause a vote on $2 billion in TIF subsidies for two proposed mega developments, the Lincoln Yards project and the 78. As of mid-morning, Finance Committee Chairman Alderman Pat O'Connor said that the panel will only delay by 48 hours and hold a meeting Wednesday morning where he expects a vote then. Visit ChicagoBusiness.com to read a live blog of how this story has unfolded over the last several hours. Plus, later in the program, we'll talk with Crane's political writer Greg Hines about this and other issues awaiting Mayor-elect Lightfoot. That conversation, business headlines, updates, and more after a quick word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. North Wells Capital, a Chicago investor that owns several vintage office buildings in River North, has proposed a pair of buildings on neighboring sites that it owns in the area. That's according to a newsletter sent by Alderman Brendan Riley. The plan includes a 15-story office building over 150,000 feet at the southwest corner of Huron and Franklin, where it would replace a parking lot and the building anchored by Nacional 27. The building would include over 100 parking spaces and ground floor retail. Just south of that, the company would build a 6-story office and retail building on Erie. A company spokesman confirmed that plans for both projects are set to be presented to downtown community members for review at an April 15th meeting. After two fatal crashes prompted regulators around the world to ground the newest and best-selling Boeing aircraft, the company said it will cut production of its 737 jetliners by mid-April and will create a special panel to review safety and design. Boeing CEO said the company plans to coordinate with customers and suppliers to blunt the financial impact of the slowdown, and for now, it doesn't plan to lay off workers from the 737 program. Boeing had originally planned to hike output of the 737 by about 10% by mid-year. Suppliers who provide the 600,000 parts needed for each plane had already started working in that direction under a schedule set in place long before the Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines disasters. But now, with the 737 MAX grounded indefinitely, the production slowdown will help Boeing preserve cash. According to a JP Morgan analyst, Boeing faces losses ranging from $1.5 billion to $2.7 billion per month as customers halt advance payments for jets whose deliveries are suspended. The latest U.S. News Healthiest Communities report highlights the gap between Cook County and its neighboring counties. Cook falls below the national average in the second annual report, while nearby counties' overall scores are way higher than the national and state averages. Near Chicago, only Lake County, Indiana, scored lower than Cook. Cook's overall score was hampered by a very low assessment of income, education, health, and social equality, and in an assessment of community stability and social cohesion through measures of population growth, voter participation, more. In contrast, DuPage County, which is the top county in the state, saw high scores in infrastructure, economy, and population health, where U.S. News examined life expectancy, the uninsured rate, and the prevalence of smoking. You can read more about that report at ChicagoBusiness.com. Media industry veteran Jim Spanfeller and Boston private equity firm Great Hill Partners have acquired The Onion and other publications that were put up for sale by Univision last year. The company said in a statement today that the digital outlets will become part of a new enterprise called Geo Media, led by Spanfeller. In addition to The Onion, the new enterprise will include Deadspin, Gizmodo, and The Root, among others. According to a statement, the companies reach about 100 million unique monthly visitors. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced last week that the state will cover gender reassignment surgery for Medicaid members. The Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services has started developing administrative rules for the coverage, which it expects to be adopted sometime this summer after a public comment period. The proposed coverage rules say that Medicaid members 21 and older who are diagnosed with gender dysphoria will be eligible for related surgeries. Calling health care a right, not a privilege, Pritzker said in a statement that expanding Medicaid to cover gender surgery is, quote, cost-effective, helps avoid long-term health consequences, and most importantly, is the right thing to do. Coming up, we'll talk with Crane's Chicago Business political writer Greg Hines about today's TIF vote delays and other issues awaiting Mayor-elect Lightfoot. That's right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions, coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane Chicago political writer Greg Hines about some issues awaiting Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot. I feel like we've been talking about this quite a bit, but even just today, she hasn't even taken office yet, and already there's lots to do on her plate and lots of conversation being happened. What is the latest, Greg?
Well, the latest is the votes on these two big mega projects with $2 billion in TIF money, the Lincoln Yards up on the north side and the 78 on the southwest side. Mayor Emanuel kind of blinked today and agreed to postpone a vote on both of those, which had been supposed to occur on the City Council Finance Committee. At the request of the mayor-elect, who said, hey, there's too many questions and I want a deferral here. But no sooner had that occurred than the chairman of the Finance Committee, Pat O'Connor, said he'd like to schedule a vote on Wednesday, which I'm not sure how that's going to fly with the mayor-elect or not. So lots going on.
Indeed, a lot going on. And then there's a lot of new faces in city government right now. So it seems like a kind of a complete reboot for the city in a sense. And so what is your sense, because you cover this area so much and so well, what is your sense of what is ahead for Lightfoot in terms of all these new relationships to build?
Well, transition periods are strange beasts in the best of time because you have one crew of people coming in, another crew of people going out, and invariably there's no agreement on what exactly should occur and what the priorities are going to be. Now, on top of that, though, you have two entirely different crews here. It's not as if Emanuel passed on the baton to Lightfoot. That didn't happen. So, you know, you have to bring in new folks. They all have to figure out what it is they want to do. There are the usual power struggles inside the winner's team. I mean, there's factions in all political campaigns, and that's true in Mayor-elect Lightfoot's group. On top of that, you have a city council that's moved way to the left with the election of five Democratic Socialists of America who have their own ideas about doing things that may not be the same as Lightfoot. So you have controversy on top of chaos, on top of a real cluster, whatever.
Indeed. So what do you get the sense that will look like here as we kind of settle out of the transition phase? What do you think we could, I mean, I know I'm asking you to kind of speculate a bit, but what do you get the sense we can probably see from especially that city council mayoral relationship?
Well, there's a couple things to watch. How it's going to turn out, too many moving pieces, I can't tell you. One thing to watch is whether Lightfoot makes a move to install allies in charge of the city council as the chairman of finance, as her floor leader, and other key positions. If she doesn't, she really could be vulnerable to being held up for unofficial extortion by a bunch of aldermen. The next thing to watch is how quickly and how decisively she pivots to her own budget. That is a problem that just cannot be denied. There's a roughly $800 million hole, as I added up, in the budget she's going to have to unveil in 4 months. So that's the second area to watch. And the third area to watch is her evolving relationship with Governor J.B. Pritzker. She's going down to Springfield to see him later this week. She wants some things. He wants some things on the plate, money, whether we're going to elect the Chicago Board of Election and Chicago Board of Education, and if so, what system we're going to use to do that, minimum wage, just a bunch of stuff on the table.
Yeah, lots on the table. And then late last week and into the weekend, we started seeing this story about Pritzker and Thompson Center. That seems like that's potentially another point of contention between Pritzker and Lightfoot.
Well, you know, they ought to be able to work this out. The Thompson Center is in terrible shape. Former Governor Jim Thompson, for whom the building was named, called it a scrap heap a couple of years ago. And this is largely because all kinds of deferred maintenance. Now, either the state's going to have to put in $400 or $500 million, it could be that much, to effectively rebuild the place because it really is a dump inside, or they're going to sell it to a developer who more than likely is going to tear it down and build a nice shiny skyscraper there. So they have to figure out that, whether the preservationists are going to get a bone, and they have to figure out who's going to pay to ensure that the CTA station underneath, Clark and the lake, which is heavily used, whether that's going to be kept up, whether it's going to need improvement or whatever. And then they're going to have to figure out how big of a building to build, because the city has one idea as to how tall, the state had another idea, and then they have to divide the money. Now, reasonable people can do this, and one would think that Mayor Lightfoot and J.B. Pritzker, both being Democrats, both being on the political left, would be able to work it out more so than Rahm Emanuel and Bruce Rauner, who didn't get along at all. But that's easy for me to say. First, they have to do it.
That's right. And this seems like a lot of items on that to-do list to work out, to go through kind of point by point for that project. Well, always interesting stuff and always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Find analysis, breaking news, data, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter as @AmyGuth, and let's continue the conversation.